Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, that was short, but sweet. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Tonight is Wednesday, April 21st. Group therapy for the Ranger fans, as we're calling it now. And good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing well.
I got a funny story for you right off the top of the bat. You remember... I have a friend of mine, his name is Adam, and I worked with him in South Florida, and we're good friends. He's a big-time Met fan. He's from New York. He used to be an Islander fan, but he was never really a big hockey guy. He goes to some Panther games in South Florida now, but he always takes an interest in the website and the show when I tell him we have a big guest. He was in the chat room, actually, when we had Pat LaFontaine on, because he was a big fan of his, at Thursday last week. I sent him a text message and I said, hey, we interviewed Gretzky last night. It was great. And he's like, oh, wow. He's like, that's so cool for you guys. About 2 minutes later, he sends me another text message. He says, you're not going to believe this. He says, my good friend Joe, he says, I just texted him to tell him you had Gretzky on because he's a Gretzky nut. And he was telling me how he was on hold for your whole show for 2 hours last week.
Oh,
so it turns out that he's good friends with Joe, who we were talking to before the show started last week, and he was a little disappointed. He thought we were going to put him on to talk to Gretzky, and I thought we had told him that we weren't going to take any phone calls. But Joe, if you're listening, we apologize for the mix up, and glad to hear you're a friend of Adams. Any friend of Adams is a friend of mine, so hopefully you'll stick with
us. Yeah, I saw
you
had a connection there. I saw it on the old FB, or his Facebook, as we call it, in the normal vernacular of people, but I've termed it FB now. Because I'm kind of ashamed to say I'm on her Facebook. Oh, I'm not ashamed. I'm just saying. I bashed Facebook at the beginning, and the Twitter and the Twatter as well, and here I am Twittering and Twattering and FBing all over the place.
Right. Now you're a show for all of it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you also spoke of... caller Rob that we wanted to get on first thing, and you gave me his area code is 201. I have two 201 calls already on the switchboard. Do you happen to know the rest of his number, or at least the next three digits?
I have no clue.
Okay. I think this is him because I think the other one's Ricky. So Ricky, if that, hang in there a second. 201-788. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio, right in the top. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Robbie. Eddie, I'm friends with you on Facebook.
Yeah, hey, Robbie, how you doing?
You're friends with me as well, Rob.
Yeah, how you doing, Jim?
Good to have you on the program.
He wants to be friends with me.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, who wouldn't? I'd rather be friends with you anyway. And the funny thing is that now we have three 201 calls on the switchboard already, so it's a good thing I chose right. So, Robbie, what's going on tonight?
Nothing right now. I was watching the Mets. But from one mess to another. But I was just wondering, is there any speculation that Sather is going to get fired? And I'm not kidding. Like, you guys actually think that Nolan will fire him? And I'm not kidding because this is it. I mean, he left the Wachovia Center, like, and he was really upset. And, you know, that's probably the first game he's watched all year. I mean, do you really think that he's actually going to fire Sather?
No. Sather's not going anywhere. Not right now.
Well,
if you're gonna,
I mean,
in my opinion, if you're gonna make off-season changes, you make them the day after the season ends, like Tampa did, like Atlanta did. You know, you make your changes immediately. You don't wait. You don't wait. What's the point? Every day that goes by, you get closer to the next season, and you have less time to prepare for the next season. So, you know, if it was gonna be done, I think it would have been done already. Same goes for the head coach.
That's true. I mean, like, I don't know if you're a Knicks fan, but I suffered with the Isaiah era, and that was worse with him. I mean, he let Isaiah, he's way too loyal, and, you know, it's just, he's probably one of the worst owners in all sports. I mean, would you agree with that? Worse than Fred Wolf on the Mets.
Yeah.
Agree?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. But anyway, and also another thing I want to ask, is there any way that they can, like, buy out Renton and Roosevelt and, like, have them be, like, free agents? Like, I don't know how it works in the NHL.
Okay. Well, since you brought it up, let me explain it to you real quick.
Sure.
As best as I can. To buy out a contract, okay, you have to pay, if I understand it correctly, you pay two-thirds of the total remaining salary over double the amount of time left on the contract, okay?
Wow.
So that means that if they buy out Wayne Redden, they're paying him until for another 8 years.
Oh, my
okay?
God. Forget it, man.
Now, that's for Redden. Now, this is actually going to be part of a story I'm putting together for Blue Shirt Banner in the next couple of days, but just to give you the real quick summation on buying out Roosevelt. If you buy out Roosevelt, you could be all done with him in 2013, at the end of the 2013-2014 season. 1 year, you've got 2 years, the cap hit would be let me rephrase that. The last 2 years of the buyout, the cap hit would be $1.166 million. The first 2 years would be, the first year would be 2.1, and then the second year would be 3.1, and then 1.1 and 1.1. So you'd have one really big cap hit in 2011-2012 with a $3.1 million cap hit, but I still think that buying out Roosevelt is the way to go, because personally I think you can live with $3 million, you know, on your cap.
That's
it's
true,
just,
yeah, and he did improve in his thought. Sorry.
That's okay. To me, that's better than paying him $5 million for another 4 years for a guy that's just, you know, isn't going to get any better. He's only going to get worse and worse and then much worse and then even worse than much worse.
Well, I was talking about this with sorry to interrupt you, but one of my friends, and they said
okay.
That Roosevelt was like, tradable. Is there any takers? I mean, it's only
Yeah, and Robbie, I agree with your friend. I think there is a market for Roosevelt to go to a team that maybe needs to you know, they actually need to make the cap minimum. He can be dealt. He didn't play all that bad the second half of the season. Now, Jim's right when he says that it's not going to get any better with Rosie. But he did play. He was serviceable. Now, the other clown, Redden, Mary Lou Redden, I think what's going to happen is he's going to get buried in Hartford next year. I think, you know, Tortorella said at the end of the season he wanted to get younger. I think what he was kind of saying is that on defense he'd like to move out Redden, and I think he's going to wind up in Hartford. Because let's face it, he's a detriment on the ice. So that's my take on it.
I think he will, but how much does that get rid of his salary?
No.
What are you
going to
do?
Yeah, I mean,
it gets him off the cap if they send him to Hartford. Not only is he a detriment on the ice, he's a detriment to the development of the team, and he's a detriment to the cap. You know, he brings absolutely nothing good.
Because the reason why I brought them up is because I don't think that we'll be ever that really good until we get rid of them. You know, and especially both of them, but. What about Soray? Do you think he would be, if they were to trade Redden for him, would that be good? Or?
No. I think Soray is he's injury prone. He's more old. He's older, let's put it this way. And
yeah.
I think it's not a really good direction the Rangers want to go. You know how it works, Robbie. You know,
yeah,
these old
true.
Guys
yeah.
come over here and it never works out. I think he's the wrong way to go. A lot of Ranger fans in the loop, and the people talking about this Volchenkov on Ottawa. Go ahead, Robin.
How good is a Zuccarelli at Sendai? He's got a ridiculously long last name. Is he really like that good? Or
you mean Matt Zuccarella Olsen, the Norwegian Hobbit, the Frodo from Modo? Are you talking about that man?
Yes, exactly.
Well, he's 5'7", 160 pounds. Not really your NHL prototypical frame.
John LeClair, he ain't.
Right. He's not a power forward, let's put it that way. I'll give it a skinny on him. He won the MVP in the Swedish Elite League last year. Now, I'm going to give you the downside. In Sweden, they play on a very big ice surface. Okay, they play probably in the biggest no-contact league that he played in last year. So he didn't get roughed up as much. But he played very well in the Olympics for Norway, which they did have a smaller ice surface. But, you know, I was thinking to myself, how many 5'7 skill guys do you know in the NHL right now? They're just purely skill. I don't think there are any. So we'll have to wait and see. Most likely he'll be signed. Well, we'll get a chance to look at him in the World Championships. He's going to probably play for Norway. And then, you know, I think they'll sign him and they'll invite him to camp and see what he can do.
Here's the scouting report from Elite Prospects on. I don't know if you saw the story today on BlueShirtBanner.com that we had on him, but here's his scouting report. His assets: he has fantastic technical skills and a great passing ability. He can finish with a I don't know what the hell that word is. I'll have to ask Joe. A magician who can do spectacular things with the puck, great vision, and can man the power play point. Defensively responsible and doesn't mind heavy traffic. His flaws, obviously, size and strength, that he's not a great physical player. I wouldn't expect a guy to be who's 5'7" and 160 pounds with, you know, with rocks in his pocket soaking wet to be a great physical player. But hey, look, you know, they got him. They didn't spend much money on him.
Is it official? Have they signed him? I mean, I thought this was going to happen after the World Juniors. Did they sign him, Jim?
It sounds like they have.
Okay.
I think they did.
And Zipe, where did I see the contract? Somebody had the contract particulars. Here it is. Spending a reported, sounds like they got him for $1.8 million over 2 years.
So they got like an entry level contract.
$900,000. You might as well take a chance.
It's a two-way contract. He'll have to receive a two-way contract due to transfer agreements, which makes spending a reported $1.8 million over 2 years for his services even less risky. The transfer agreement provides one-way deals for free agents over 27. MZA is 22. So, it's worth a shot. You know, if you get him for less than $1 million, I mean, you know, this guy scores six. If he scores six goals, you're getting more for your money than Aaron Voros. Look at it that way.
Exactly. Yeah. But when I ask you something, would you re-sign Prospel or Shelley or Prust or
Prospel if he signs at a discount? And Prust, yes, I would. Prust, yes. Shelley, no.
Yeah,
I know I'm going to take
a
little heat for that. I know Jody came up big at the end, but a little too long in the tooth for me. I want some younger guys. I'd like to see Dale Weiss up here and some guys from Hartford, some bangers from Hartford.
I do agree with Tortorella. I mean, I heard you last week say that you didn't really, like, believe what he said or you didn't like him. But I do agree with, like, you know, they got to get younger because, like, you know, it's just, I mean, aging veterans, like, I can't stand. And not only does he give them, like, long-term contracts, but he gives them no trade clause. Like, I had no clue that, what's his name, Cody Leak had no trade clause until after they traded him. Like, what is going through his mind? I've never seen it.
Only a psychiatrist knows what goes through Glenn Sather's mind when he signs these guys. I don't know. He caves into every one of their demands just to get him here. It's
I'm just telling you, they raised the ticket prices last summer. They give us very rarely give us promotions. The renovation of the garden hasn't gone through yet. It's just, you know, I mean, do you even want to bother to go this year? I mean, it's not even worth it. I mean, it's just.
Of course.
No? A lot of
course.
Fans. Well, yeah. I mean, I'll always go.
Come on.
I'm going to wait to the end of the season next year. No more early season heartache anymore. I'm going to wait to the end of the season and then have my heart broken because I can't take it all year. I mean, you know, but yeah, you're right though. A lot of fans were turned off by the team they saw, and they didn't show, and they sold their tickets or they didn't show up.
And let me tell you something. Sorry, but I think that Lundqvist should have won the Stephen McDonald Award. I can tell, like, he has a great personality. And, you know, Callahan did deserve it too, but Lundqvist just, he had a horrible team around him. He sucked it up pretty well. I would have given him the Stephen McDonald Award. But, you know, and
yeah.
I feel horrible for Gavrik and Lundqvist because at least they earned it, obviously, there with exception. But this is the first time since 2004, since no playoff hockey, and I live in Jersey, and the Devils fans are really starting to taunt me with it. So
they're just about, not for long.
They're about done with
long.
That.
Yeah,
not for long.
One.
Who are you guys rooting for? The Devils or the Flyers?
I'm a Flyers fan at this point.
I'm rooting for a natural disaster.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, I can't stand the Devils fans. They're young. They're just, I put up with them. When I played hockey, the coaches, and it's just ridiculous. But so I was rooting for the Flyers. But one other thing. This is going to sound random, but could we please change the Potman Sucks chant, or is that going to be here forever?
Well, here
we go.
Well, this is a controversy between, now, I don't know, Jim, I know me, I don't really like it, like you, Robbie. I just think it's outdated and people just saying it to just say it.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I don't mean to bring up anything controversial or anything. I'm just
the whole show is about
fine.
Controversy. What are you kidding me? No. But I feel like it's the people who are saying it don't know why they're saying it, and it's stale, and I hate when they say it during important times of the game. So I just say, Sabres sucks, or the Flyers suck, when whoever we're playing.
Yeah,
so,
that's with the Devils, because, like, you know how the Devils and Islanders have, like, the chicken dance and all that other childish
yeah.
shit. So, like, but,
right.
Yeah, I'm
I
just
mean,
saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but you have to also know that Islander stuff, you know, their organist or whoever the freaking, that's sanctioned by their organization. They encourage that kind of behavior. You know, we do the pop and sucks. It's, you know, it's usually comes from Schlemiel in the audience, the crowd.
Notice how, like, the Coliseum management, like, they do the chicken dance. Like, I remember a few, back in, like, the 80s, even though I wasn't around back then, but I read that, like, the Let's Go March band, like, they didn't want to, make, like, the fans, like, behave badly at the Coliseum. Like, they don't even care. But
right.
It's just, yeah. So I guess it's a proper way to do it, but, I mean, I just think it's old.
They're just happy if 20 people show up at the Coliseum.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, oh, my God. I went there for one WWE event back in, like, July of 08, and it was, like, a sold-out crowd. There were fireworks there. I could barely breathe. Like, I don't know how anyone – it's like they don't sell out every game. That's like us. But it's just – it's really – it's probably one of the worst venues in all sports. And I'm not saying that because I can't stand the Islanders.
I mean, there are hockey rinks, community hockey rinks that are in better shape than that place.
Yeah, they just put together. But I do like how we take that place over, and the same thing with the Rock. But anyway, thanks for letting me call in. How much time do we got left on this one? There.
All right, Robbie, we're gonna take some other calls, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much for calling, Robbie. We love hearing from you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I'll see you later. All right.
Okay.
Anytime. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you. Thanks. I will.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. All right. That was Robbie. First time, long time, as they say, in the business.
He was far and away there.
He was. He had his
away.
Notes. He had his notes out in front of him, and he made sure he got to everything. It's a good call.
Speaking of which, did you see that movie with Patton Oswalt? I think it's called The Big Fan. Have you seen this movie?
I have not seen that yet.
What a disturbing movie. When you said that triggered me into thinking, because he plays this guy who's a big Giant fan.
I can relate.
And he lives for sports radio. And him and this guy, Philadelphia Phil, who's an Eagles fan, they go at it over the airwaves. And Patton always got, like, you know, his notes when he calls in. He's like, listen, tell that cheesesteak eating Phil, we're going to come to Philadelphia, we're going to destroy him and the whole thing. And I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but he has to come to a decision on whether to it's almost like a Plastico Burris situation. One of the players on the Giants gets in trouble, and it concerns him, and he doesn't know whether to blow the whistle on this guy because it may affect the Giants' season. You know, so he doesn't know whether to do it or not. He's, like, caught in a little bit of a quandary, so to speak. So That's a, right. a pretty good movie. Pretty good independent flick. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Right. Yeah, I keep meaning to pick it up.
You don't
and
care,
I
do
just
you?
Keep forgetting. No, I do care. I do want to see it, of course. It's Giants related. All right, let's take another call. I believe this is the great one and only Ricky O. Ricky, are you there?
How you doing, guys?
Good evening, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well tonight. I called Mouth earlier. I got a little bit of an inside scoop for you guys tonight. Hopefully it comes true.
Let me tell you, what you told me is not such a little inside scoop. This is a National Hockey League scoop, not just a Rangers scoop or a trade scoop. And once again, I've got to preface this. I think we should have like a disclaimer when Ricky comes on. You know, like, this is not an official rumor. No. But what I'm saying is that tell us where you got the rumor. Well, tell us the rumor and then where you got it from, because this is a blockbuster rumor.
All right. First of all, the rumor is that Donald Fehr will be named head of the Players Association either before the finals or immediately following the finals. And if anybody knows anything about Fehr, it's him and Bettman aren't exactly best of friends. And
now,
Fehr
was the head of the he was the head of the Major League Baseball Players Association, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And he is now going to be the head of the Players Association for the NHL. And one of the agendas is immediately the players are not happy with Bettman. They don't think the game has progressed under Gary Bettman. As a matter of fact, what I was told was the meeting that took place recently is they feel the game has actually regressed under Gary, that the buzz with the kids and the hockey is just dying, and part of the reason why is that the NHL has stopped marketing towards children. The youth leagues and stuff like that are no longer sponsored. The NHL Cool Shots program has been dropped. They're relying too much on millionaires and corporate money to support the NHL. And the Players Association feels that it's dampened the game. And I think the handwriting's on the wall. I think Gary Bettman is going to be challenged greatly to either put up or shut up in the next year or two. Or from what I was told, again, this is the second part of the rumor, is they want the NHL improved, and they want it immediately improved. And either Bettman's going to be asked to resign, or Gary Bettman's going to be told he needs to form a committee and be part of a committee and stop making independent decisions on expansion and stuff like that on his own, because they feel he's failing the game greatly.
Well,
okay.
I can't say I would disagree with that statement.
Now, I don't know too much. Now, would the Players Association rep, the head of the Players Association, have that much weight? I mean, does he carry that much pull to be able to depose Gary Bettman?
It's funny you said that, Mouth, because that was the first question I asked the gentleman who gave me the rumor. And by the way, the person who gave me this rumor is a very, very, very high up ESPN hockey guy. He's not an on-air talent. He's a behind-the-scenes talent. I don't want to give his name away, but the guy, as a matter of fact, he's probably listening to the show tonight. I've turned him on to the show. Again, greatly impressed by you guys with the Wayne Gretzky show. He listened to it in the archive, and he absolutely said to tell you guys do a great job.
Tell him to hire us.
Hey, we're one step at a time. We're getting rumors from him now.
Tell him we're
right.
available.
Baby
He said that the fact is that the players are – one of the things he brought up immediately was the salary cap, and that a lot of the players – and he said owners – are very not happy with how the salary cap is progressing. He's saying that there's just too much mediocrity in the league, that big market teams and little market teams, there's no separation. You know, basically what he said was, like, if it's the Pittsburgh Pirates or the New York Mets, they're making the same amount of money no matter what, so who cares if the Mets are good and who cares if the Pirates suck? Nobody's paying attention to the game. And I think that's the greatest point that he made, is that really nobody cares. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, actually it's 10 years now, pre-lockout, when the Rangers won the Cup, the Devils won the Cup, the metropolitan area was exploding. It was hockey crazy. And right now, nobody cares about hockey. I mean, the Rangers missed the playoffs. It's like nobody even cares. It's like we're just off for a week. You know, the league is just taking a big backward step. And whether it's the fact that the image of the league is so tarnished that nobody cares, or it's the fact that we've just priced ourselves out of being competitive with families. I mean, ticket prices are nuts. The games are nuts. There's no interest. When poker's outdrawing you and you're a full contact sport like the NHL, you have problems. And I think the players have realized this. And I asked the same question you did, Mouth. I said, do the players really have this much pull that they're unhappy with him and they can ask this guy to actually step down or change the way he governs the NHL? And his answer was, yeah, they're the guys on the ice, and if they don't play and they walk out because of this guy, it's going to be another major black eye and might end the game in North America.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, you know, Gary Bettman, first of all, he's completely – we all know. I mean, everybody here is learned in what's going on with the TV contracts. We all know about the versus debacle and, you know, how he let ESPN, you know, fall through and – just even the NBC contract is just nonsense from a revenue-making standpoint and just an exposure standpoint. I mean, we know Versus, half people can't even know where Versus is on their cable system, and we know where it is because we're hockey fans, you know. But the casual person can't find that. And, you know, in the old days, you know, you used to surf the ESPN, see what's on. Now all you see on the ESPN Classic, like you said, is poker and the world's strongest man. I mean, why don't you throw a hockey game on there, an old hockey game or something? So anyway, that's very interesting. And, you know, I see some people in the chat room, they want to kind of dissent. Ricky's pretty good with these rumors, and, you know, he seems to step in it a lot. So... I mean, and it usually turns out to be true. So when he told me about it, I thought it was really curious. I told him to call in, and he
just
did.
Just real quick, Mouth, you know, there's some people in there saying that Bettman didn't do the TV contract. Gary Bettman personally handled the negotiations with Versus. That's been out for years. Gary Bettman turned ESPN down. ESPN offered less money but more exposure. He took the money and ran with Versus, and that was his own personal decision. So that's absolutely wrong. Gary Bettman admittedly handled the TV contract for the NHL.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people speak out about that on TV, and so yeah, I'm pretty sure he. Now it depends. Will Gary Bettman be so arrogant and say, "Listen, I'm not stepping down," and call their bluff? Because, like you said, the NHL cannot survive another strike. I mean, I think, although I do, you know, I kind of disagree with you on the, I think hockey is drawing the young people despite Bettman's non-promotion of it. But I guess I do agree with the fact that they could be drawing a lot more if they were targeting towards the younger kids.
I think I've told this story to you guys before on the show. Back in the mid-90s, I used to run a roller hockey program in a town called Lodi, New Jersey. And within the first year of having the program, we went from one team, which at the time was 8 to 10-year-olds, to having two teams 8 to 10, two teams 10 to 12, and then a 12 to 15 team, and we had two of those. And we got so popular, we got a government grant, and just in Bergen County, which is a pretty well-off, you know, county in New Jersey, every town in Bergen County in the mid-90s got a roller hockey grant from the government and had a roller hockey rink built. Within 2 years after the strike, this is 94, 95, 96, it's booming. I was getting letters from the local Little League asking me not to have a summer program because they didn't have enough kids to play baseball, that hockey had surpassed it so much. Right now, in Bergen County, New Jersey, there's three outdoor hockey rinks left. They've been torn down. The leagues have completely diminished and gone away. And the game, there's no interest in it whatsoever at kids at that age anymore. And I think the reason why is, like you just said, one, the games are on channels that you can't find it. When it was on ESPN, every kid watches ESPN because every kid's dad watches SportsCenter. So when hockey was on ESPN, it got second billing to whatever sport was on that season. So if it was late in the year like this, it got second billing to baseball. And in the beginning of the year, it got second billing to football, so everybody saw the highlights. That's not happening anymore. Hockey gets a five-second mention, and that's it. And also, the kids just don't care anymore because the stars aren't there. You're not seeing anybody except Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin being marketed. You know, back in the day, you had those great ESPN commercials with Rob Ray, Matt Barnaby, Pat LaFontaine, Messier, Graves. They had a personality to the face. The National Hockey League has taken the face away and markets the logo and the team and Reebok. That's it. If it's not Sidney Crosby, you're not a star. And they don't recognize faces. And, you know, the NHL alone on the Rangers or the Devils or even the Islanders with Traverse, these guys are faces. They should be out and being all over the TV, all over the public. You don't even see them. They dropped the ball terribly.
Yeah. I agree with you on most points. I mean, you know, I agree wholeheartedly. Now, I know that Mike Zippo's in there, and he's championing Gary Bettman. I never thought I would say that. The head of the Fire Glenn Sather rally thinks Gary Bettman's doing a good job with the TV. I don't know, Mikey. I got to disagree with you. I mean, yeah, Versus ratings are up. I think mostly because you know where to find it. They've been there 3 years. People know finally where to go. I mean, but again, you want to get that casual guy drawn in. And although I think with the advent of the computer, Sports Center is not exactly what it was before, because now we go with you know, we can check the internet for just about everything. It's so thorough, clips and stats, and it's, you know, Sports Center at one part was the pulse of the sports fan. But you got to have it on ESPN. Now, as I remember, didn't they have like a special night that was hockey night on ESPN? Yeah, Wednesday night. So you know, Wednesday night you put on ESPN, you were gonna get some hockey. I thought their announcers. I think we can all agree that their announcers were better. I mean, I don't think anybody's disagreeing that Benignati and Craig Laughlin or Eddie Zero were better than that. Even though I wasn't a big Thorne guy, but Gary Thorne, he brought his own special flavor to the game and what have you. So and Bill Clement, I like Bill Clement. So anyway, I think you raised a good point, you know, and it's well taken. Something's got to change, because we all know there's a lot of failing franchises that they're not even mentioned. Right now, Phoenix is on the radar. I talked early in the year about Columbus. I got a chance to see a Blue Jacket game a couple years, and you know, I got an email that said, you know, they're going to have to move. They can't spend the money. They can't afford the arena there. Now, I haven't heard anything nationally about this on like the NHL Lives or anything like that. But I got an email from the fans that they're worried. You know, their organization. And then you got the Islanders. They're sweeping that under the rug. I mean, that's a financial. I mean, death knell.
What about Tampa Bay? They're begging for the stability of the Espositos to come back. I mean, that organization's a mess.
And just one other point, it just comes from Gary Bettman, who was an NBA guy. You see how the NBA's marketed. They market two guys. And that's what the NHL is doing. They're marketing two guys. I mean, where is the ads with James Neal's? And, you know, guy Ryan Getzlaff, and, you know, and all these other talents, and all around the league, you never see any of their faces.
Mouth, what about the point earlier in the year where the Rangers were sued for having their own independent website? People don't even bring this up, that the NHL forces each team to conform to one style of website. They're not even allowed to put out what they want to put out. The NHL mass produces all the NHL teams' websites, and they have to conform to it, or they threaten to pull the Rangers and sue them this year for having their own independent guys running the website. It's like Bettman wants a communist country inside the NHL where he's a dictator. And anybody who don't see this, listen, I'm not the biggest Henrik Lundqvist fan in the world, but I'm not going to argue. The guy is a superb athlete. He's every little girl in the world who watches hockey thinks the guy's gorgeous. They love the guy. When do you see him? You see him on one Versus commercial, and it's his face for like 5 seconds. This guy should be the face of New York right now. He should be Ron Duguay 2010. His face should be on – he should be doing jeans commercials. His face should be on TV every day, and they're dropping the ball, man. Michael Delzato, 19-year-old kid. Why is he not being billed like LeBron James in basketball? I know he's not that quality of a player, but he's a 19-year-old kid playing in New York. He's the king of New York at 19 years old. There's no mention of him anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're stuck with – so go ahead, Jim.
Well, I just want to say, just to, you know, and we've said this before, but you look at the three teams in New York, counting the Islanders, but you've got, you know, arguably the greatest goaltender of all time. You've got a guy that's considered an elite goaltender, a world-class goaltender. You've got one of the best goal scorers in the league, and you've got Tavares, who is, you know, billed as one of the next up-and-coming stars of the league, and you don't hear anything about any of them. You know, they don't market any of those guys. And I said this for Zach Parise, right?
Right,
another good one. I didn't even think of it. But
American born.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Martin Brodeur, who is going to retire, you know, a year or 2 years, whatever it is, with the most wins in NHL history for a goaltender in relative obscurity, as far as I'm concerned. Because, I mean, yeah, he's a devil, but that's still the New York market. And the NHL doesn't market him at all. Now, you know, I'm not trying to champion Fatso here, but it's just a, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's ridiculous that they have this asset and they don't use it. And in my opinion, as far as Bettman goes and what he's done to hockey, you know, hockey was never more popular than it was in 1994. Not just from a Rangers standpoint. Hockey was everywhere when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. It was everywhere. And what happened, what transpired after the Rangers won the Stanley Cup was just inexcusable. To shut down the game for 3 months and then play an abbreviated season beginning in January of 1995, it killed all the momentum they had built up. Hockey was everywhere. I will never forget, for as long as I live, Mark Messier at the MTV Awards after the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. And here's all these idiots that go to the MTV Awards chanting, "Let's go Rangers," at the MTV Awards. I mean, hockey may never be that popular again.
You couldn't touch a ticket, Jimmy. You couldn't go near the NHL. You're 100% right. 95.
I mean, it was everywhere. They had a major network contract. They were on ABC at the time. They were on ESPN at the time. And they killed it. That lockout killed it. Shutting down the game for 3 months, not being able to capitalize on. I mean, because we all remember all that Rangers stuff kind of carried well into August and September. It would have been, you know, if the season would have started on time, it would have been like hockey never ended. You know,
right.
They could have went right back to work in September and training camp and October, and hockey,
the momentum
incredible.
Would have kept continuing rather than having that big break to just, like you said, it killed it. But, you know, moving forward from there, I know I'm going to get to the history, but then we get the expansion and the quick grab for the money for the expansion teams. And supposedly all these big markets, you know, they looked at the market research. Atlanta is getting bigger and Nashville is getting bigger, and we need Phoenix to have – well, Phoenix was Winnipeg moving. But
now,
still, yeah.
Let me ask you a question on this, and this is a personal point, and I don't want to come across as being ignorant on this. The cities that are getting bigger are not exactly getting bigger with the population or the demographic that are hockey fans.
No, I agree.
Okay? I can go out and say right now that, you know, Newark, New Jersey is huge. And Newark, New Jersey is a huge city, and it's growing by the day. Yeah, it's growing by the day, but it's not growing with the people who watch hockey. You know, the NHL, and listen, this is another thing I wanted to ask you two while I have you. Does anybody else get disgusted with playing games in Europe besides me? Do I really want to have to watch the Rangers play in London or in Paris?
I don't care. I could give a crap less. I think it's a detriment. Yeah. Look at the Detroit. They went over this year, and it took them a while to recover. Who cares? Why are you trying to – you can't get the game settled here in the States, and you want to show the other countries how do we play? Get out of town. That's a gimmick. And it's detrimental. These points count.
I want to see them play in the division. I want to see them play the Islanders 10 times a year. I want to see them play the Devils 10 times a year, if not 8. I want to see rivalries back. I want to see the instigator rule taken out. I want to see the NHL marketed like smash-up derby, whatever the hell that's called. I want to see commercials of Pronger laying out Shelley at center ice with a huge hit. I want to see gloves off. I want to see Coltonor getting knocked out. I want to see... You know, I want to see stuff. I want to see people stand in their seat and go, "I went to a hockey game. I want to see somebody get killed." You know, I know that's horrible, but I don't want to see.
I want the fast. I want the hockey, and I want the on ice violence.
Yeah, I'm not even saying violence. I just want the contact. I want the skirts off.
No, I want on ice violence.
I agree with you, Mel. I want violence Saturday too, off the ice in Long Island. But that's another story. We'll get to that later.
And you remember those Hockey Falls commercials? I love those ones.
Oh, those were awesome.
They took those off the air. I love it. The one where the guy spilled that guy over that autographed Bruin jacket. I mean, I love those commercials. They took the fun out of it.
Even Bobby Granger was fun.
Yeah, everybody's talking about Bobby Granger. Bring him back. That's how desperate we are.
Yeah, because, you know, there's no personality, Mel. The NHL is now a bunch of hoity-toity snob asses in three-piece suits who got the tickets for free. Listen, you want to hear how bad hockey is? I'll let you in on another story today.
We got them riled, Jim.
The Devils are now, you ready for this? For $5,000, the Devils are calling around asking people to sponsor a playoff game for a business. For that $5,000, they gave you 200 tickets to the next playoff game, Game 5, at The Rock. How are they giving away 200 playoffs? Let me tell you, son, if the Rangers were in the playoffs, there wouldn't be 200 seats to be purchased, and we know that as a fact. Okay?
Yeah.
No matter how bad this team was, I would be there, you would be there, we'd all be there, and there wouldn't be nothing. Nobody cares about hockey to a point now where the franchises are giving away hundreds and hundreds of tickets to playoff games. Why? Because they can't draw interest. Why? Because there's no faces to the league. There's no faces to the players. Kids are being brought up to root for, my dad was a Devil fan, or my dad is a Ranger fan. I'm gonna watch hockey because my dad likes it. There's no little kid going, Dad, you got to take me to a game. Listen, I cut school. I got in trouble with my parents. I failed homework assignments to sneak to Ranger games, okay? I hung outside to get autographs. I was a little fanatical, but you know what? That's gone. I know when the Rangers played the Flyers in the 70s, when I was a kid in the early 80s and they played the Islanders, I hated those bastards. That's gone. There's no passion in the game. The fans don't care anymore. Ranger fans sit with Devil fans, watch a game, and they high-five each other and try to get on a jumbotron, punching each other in the head. It's so cute. Look at my little stupid kid wearing a Devil jersey. It's disgusting. And this is all Gary Bettman's fault, and anybody who wants to disagree, please disagree, but the NHL sucks. There's no passion. There's more passion in your chat room than there is in an NHL game. The Garden sucked this year. The fans were quiet. You didn't even hear them on TV once this year. The place never rocked like it did 5 years ago, and that's because the passion's out of the game.
Well, yeah. I think, and this also, I'm going to blame, I feel like we're doing a political show here because I'm about to blame the media. I don't know if you folks are aware of this, but there's a big snobbery, if that's a word, I don't even know, as far as the Canadian media goes towards the North American media for the people who cover hockey. Basically, all the people in the American media do not, the U.S. media do not get any respect, and I think I know why. Because everybody's just so damn nice. Like, there's no controversial, you cannot say a bad thing about a player here. You cannot say, now, you go to Toronto, they talk turkey. If they think Cavalier is stinking the joint up, you're going to hear about it. They're going to say he's not, you know, he's got to go. Here, everything is just so nice. You watch that NHL live show, everything's hunky-dory in the NHL, pleasure to talk to you. Nobody criticizes. You might say he's struggling, this and that. But you got to get your hands dirty. When you talk about football, they talk about football. You watch NFL, NFL Live or whatever the thing they have. They talk turkey. If a team's playing bad or a quarterback is playing really terrible, they're saying he's stinking the joint up. But I think one of the problems is everybody is so bland and generic here in the media. It does a disservice because we want to know the real scoop, you know. And again, it's a problem I have with the Ranger broadcast, but they're even in title lock. Not just the under the watch of Bettman, they're under the watch of Dolan Vision. So you have that. And I have Avery Girl who just signed in. She must have heard me talking about the Blue Jackets. She actually just got an email from the fans, actually the Blue Jackets, and they actually got a petition out trying to save their team. Now, where do you hear this news? You don't hear this news on NHL.com or anywhere else. I mean, You have to come to the underbelly of the internet on this blue shirt banner radio program to hear this. I mean, again, there's a lot being hidden about how the fiscal insolvency of this league, and I really think it's going to come to a head sooner than later. Hello?
Did we lose Ricky?
No, I'm here. I just shut up for a minute.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say, guys, it's always fun with you guys, and I wish to God, I hope this blows up for you too, because it really is a place for real fans to get a chance to just say, how you feel. And, you guys are awesome. I love you. And, Mouth, I'll see you Saturday. Jimmy, I can't wait to buy you a beer. One day we'll get together.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right, Ricky. Are you making a personal appearance on Saturday?
No, actually, I think it's going to be Sunday. This is a powder keg. Sunday at Hofstra University. Get this. You thought that Ranger Crisis number 50 was the perfect storm for comedy? Well, at Hofstra University, Brian Trache will be there.
Oh, boy. Say no more.
Ken Morrow. Billy Smith. And one other doof. I can't think of it.
Bruno Gervais.
Freddie Meyer. I don't know. But I don't know if I've ever told you a story with Dagoon. He has the best Ranger Billy Smith story. He may have the best Ranger tale of all time. Like he said, he's a fanatic fan. Well,
yeah, he's told us that story on the air about the Smith with the toupee.
Yeah. When he pulled Billy Smith's toupee off, saying, "I'm from Siemens and I'm here to repossess your rug," and they just pulled it off in front of Billy Smith's wife. So. I prodded him a little and said, "You got to recreate that. I got to get it on film." So, Ranger Crisis video may be down there Sunday. On Saturday, actually, they're going to have a couple of Mets down there. K-Rod's going to be down there. And I'm going to say to K-Rod, I'm going to yell across, "Hey, K-Rod, how come you can't pitch two innings, you idiot?" Anyway.
K Benitez.
Again, strip him of his nickname. When you stink, you don't deserve a nickname.
That's right.
Jackie Lama's back, ladies and gentlemen. How about those floors, Jim? She's back.
She couldn't sleep knowing that the show was going on without her.
She thought we were talking ill of her. Which right.
All right, let's take another call. Another 201. 201-248, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Jim.
Yes, screaming at me from across the room.
It's John from the Bunny Ranch.
Hey, John from Paramus, how are you?
John from the Bada Bing out in Paramus, New Jersey. How are you, John?
How are you? Great interview last week with the great one.
Thank you. We're going to play the second part of that in just a few minutes.
That was beautiful last week. Beautiful.
Thank you.
But to go back, the guy who you had on before talking about the rinks in Burton County, he's absolutely right about that. There's actually two in Paramus that I know of. It's terrible.
I mean, do you think that this is possibly could happen, that Bettman could be gone? I mean, I don't think there's too many fans that are going to disagree if he gets the boot.
Well, but let's put it this way. He's got a better chance with the Donald Fear with his rumor than I was last week with mine about Sather. I thought Sather was going to be gone with what I heard.
I thought you were kind of pulling a leg on that, but you had
I actually had a legitimate source from MSG headquarters, from MSG resources. I thought it was going to go down. Obviously, it didn't. It backfired on me.
Who's your source? John Gia Monotone there? John Gino?
Somebody in the head office actually gave me a heads up on that one. And obviously it failed, so it's helping me out right now with the T-shirts.
Well, that's good, because I know you got that fire My check is in the mail, so to speak, for my Fire Glenn Sather T-shirt.
That's correct. Got 20 orders already. 20 orders.
Wow, you're making big bucks over there.
Not really, but you can say that if you like.
How about
this little man helping the other little man out?
Listen, this is what you got to do. Help a brother man out.
That's correct. I'd help the Ranger fans out a little.
Well, I think once people start seeing those shirts around the garden, they'll probably say, hey, where do I get one? Then you'll be really raking in the cash.
Well, remember what I said. I want to send one to Dolan also, so he's going to get a copy himself. He's going to get him shirt himself.
Oh, that's good. So, Mr. John from Paramus, have you looked into this new signing of the Rangers yet? Have you heard about Frodo from Modo?
I have heard. That's good. I like that. That's pretty good, Mal.
I'm good with the quips. I usually steal them first, then say them. But Frodo from Modo, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about a 5'7 guy, 160 pounds? It's funny because I posted the video of him on my Ranger Crisis website, and Margaret Hurley, who sometimes calls me to the show, is like, wow, he's built. He's built. I mean, any muscle on a 5'7" guy, like, I'm full of muscle, but it's all in my head.
How big was Theo Fleury when he played? How big was he?
This is 5'7" or 5'9".
Okay.
He's 5'7", I think.
He's got the same tilt then.
Yeah.
He might be able to give some grit.
Now, this guy is nobody from Sweden will give you grit. Let me put it.
Henrik gives it to you.
Yeah, I mean, the Swedish Elite League. I got to tell you, it's you got more hockey, more hitting in bantams or midgets than you have going on in the Elite League in Sweden. But
why don't we?
Who knows? Rangers have a lot of slots to fill and no cap room to do it. So, give the guy a shot. What the hell?
Exactly. Got nothing to lose at this point.
Right.
Nothing to lose.
So, why the hell did you call us?
Just to say hi. Don't you miss me, Mel? Come on.
Yeah, I miss you. As much as I can miss.
It's a love fest.
Yeah, I know. It's a
love fest, considering I love to see the Devils squirm and meander around like they are on the ice. It's great.
Well,
yeah,
pretty soon Devil fans can get back to their full-time job of hating the Rangers.
Oh, yeah, they'll be back.
They're always back.
On the Rangers.
New Jersey's prone for Devil fans. They don't know what the hell to do with themselves otherwise.
Yeah.
They can't make fun of the Rangers. What are they going to make fun of? The Nets? Come on, everybody does that.
I agree. Now, Frosty's saying, I'm getting on the guy. I'm not hating the guy. I got to be skeptical, you goddamn bastard. What am I going to do? I'm a Ranger fan. We're born to be skeptical, Frosty.
Look,
you know it.
You drove Frosty right back to the Mets.
Frosty from Bayside gets it. What am I supposed to call? Oh, a 5'6" guy from Sweden. He's going to light Broadway on its ear. Light Broadway up. He's going to be toasted in town. He's going to be on Oprah. I mean, come on. Let's get a reality here. You drinking the Kool-Aid already, Frosty? Are you drinking? You're calling me a bastard. I'm calling you a bastard. I mean, seriously, what are we supposed to do? Guy's drinking the Kool-Aid. Ready, Frodo from Modo, the Norwegian Hobbit. 5'6". You're not 5'6". Nobody's 5'6". But anyway, I digress.
5'6" wide.
I got two last things, guys. Jim, when are you visiting New York next year?
I'm gonna wait until the Rangers schedule comes out. I have to check that. I'm gonna try and get there early in the season, and then I also have a possible Giants road trip planned. So I have to see, but I'm gonna try and get there as early in the season as I possibly can, but that also has to be cleared with the higher power in my house. So, but I do plan on being there early in the season.
Let me know, because you have a ticket waiting for you at the Garden. Let me tell you, like Eddie does next year as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
You and Eddie both have tickets next year waiting for you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, and one last thing. I'm promoting the Fire Savers shirts. Everybody come to my Facebook page and buy one, please. Thank you. Support the cause.
All right.
All right, have a good night.
Take care, John.
All right. Thanks, John.
I tell you, John is all... I mean, you know, I'm getting on. Listen, I'm being skeptical. Last year, I got all kinds of roasted and toasted because I said the Rangers were exciting and new, like the Love Boat.
Exciting.
Love Boat. Exciting and new. You know, and I took a lot of heat for it. Now I'm a little skeptical of a 5'6 guy. Come on, these projects never work with the Rangers. I mean, you know, all right. The only thing I'll say is he was the MVP of the league. I mean, you know. But, again, I got to be skeptical. So, you know, so, yeah. And, Jim, go to Jackie C's. They're much better than Newman's. I mean, John from Bronx. But, John, but you get the beauty of John. Now,
well,
look,
whenever I come and when I do go to a game, we're going to have to, you know, it's all going to have to be worked out because we're both going. You and I were going, and, you know, we're going to work the crowd, and, you know, so it's going to have to be a night where we can both go and meet up with people. So we'll need a stack of free tickets, I think.
Oh, I don't know if we're going to get that. All right, so here we go. I was going to talk a little about the Rangers' prospects. The rankings came out for the rankings.
We got one more phone call on the line.
We'll do the Gretzky thing, and then we'll do the prospects. How about that?
Okay, sounds good. All right, how about 862? You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
How's it going, guys? This is Ryan from Wayne, New Jersey.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
How are
you,
buddy?
I'm doing it, guys. How about yourself? Pretty good.
Good.
It's funny you guys were going to talk about the prospects. Yeah, first time. I was actually going to bring that up. I was going to see if you guys thought Grachev has a shot this year, and what's the deal with Kreider? You think this year maybe or next few years when he's graduating college?
Well,
I think, Jim,
tell him about the news you told me right before the show started about the other two guys, McDonough and Stephon.
Yeah, we'll kind of tease the prospect news a little bit. It was announced late this afternoon. And I guess the first props on this goes to Jess at the Prospect Park, but then DB Maven broke the news on Blue Shirt Banner that Ryan McDonagh and Derek Stepan, the highly touted prospects for the Rangers, are returning to the University of Wisconsin next year. It was announced that they are both going to spend another year in college, and you know, to be honest with you, I know we're all excited for the future to get here. But I'm kind of okay with them spending another year in college because at least it takes their uncertainty about it out of the equation. And we know, okay, they're going to be in college another year. We don't have to kind of worry about them in training camp. And we can kind of, you know, keep them on the back burner till next year. And let's worry about this season. We don't have to worry. Are they going to come into camp? Are they going to go play in the OHL? Are they going to play in the AHL? Are they going to be here? Are they going to be there? Are they going to go play in Quebec Juniors? You know, whatever. So I'm okay with them staying in college. You know, let them get their education, and then you know, hopefully we'll see them. Maybe we'll see them next season, and we don't have to worry about you know what's going to be with them, and you know the way we kind of waited on Delzato until the last possible minute, what was going to happen with him and Gilroy and all that. So I'm okay with that. So yeah, and we'll get to the rest of the prospect news. We're going to play the rest of the Gretzky interview in a few minutes. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
His question was about Grachev, and I'll at least talk about that. Leslie Treff, who works for Hockey's Future, she came out with her ratings of all the prospects a couple weeks ago, and she still has Grachev as the Rangers' number one prospect. She really feels that he's going to be called up somewhere during the midseason, he could make the team out of camp. She said, however, though, his AHL transition wasn't smooth. He didn't do too well. He didn't make the all-rookie team down there. His point production was way below expected. Now, with that said, he's a Russian. He's 20 years old. Hartford had a bad team this year. They were injury prone. And I always feel these Russian guys love, because they start with the unit of five, and that's how they learn, they like to play with the same guys. And I think we even saw it, even Anisimov, once he played with that fourth line, he played well all year, I thought. But again, they need that regularity. They need to have that guy. So Grachev struggled, but, you know, he's still rated the number one prospect. And, he impressed so much in training camp this year. He could make the team next year. But, I think they'll probably give him another year like they did with Anisimov, and, 2 years in Hartford and then bring him up. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah.
All right. So we were going to go through the other draft choices and stuff and the prospects, but now we're going to go to this Gretzky thing. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we'll run the Gretzky interview, the rest of the Gretzky interview. This was Nick talking to Wayne Gretzky down at the event in Times Square, and he said it's about 3 or 4 minutes long. So we'll play this, and then we'll talk prospects, and we'll take some more phone calls on the other side.
All right, take care, guys. It was nice talking to you.
Yes, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Take
we'll
care,
help you
friend.
Call again.
I'll be listening. Take care.
Okay,
take
great.
Care, brother.
All right,
see ya.
Bye.
All right, so without further ado, Blue Shirt Banner presents Wayne Gretzky Part 2.
So, Wayne, my first question to you is, do you ever want to return to coaching in the National Hockey League?
Do I want to return? I don't think about it. Really just because I'm enjoying my life right now. I think it's the greatest game in the world, and I love the NHL, and right now I'm just having fun watching it as a fan. So, at this point in time, I haven't really thought about it, no.
Okay, and last night's NHL held the draft lottery in which the Edmonton Oilers were awarded the first overall pick.
Uh-huh.
And basically they have a choice between two superstars that they can draft.
Uh-huh.
So if you were the GM of the Edmonton Oilers, would you go with Taylor Hall or Tyler Seguin?
Well, that's hard for me because the truth of the matter is I've seen both those guys play one time. So it wouldn't be fair for me to comment other than say that from everybody I talked to, said both kids are going to be really good players and be good acquisitions in the National Hockey League, and both have great careers. So I would, if I saw them, I would tell you, but I haven't really seen either one of them play.
During your career, was there any specific goaltender that gave you fits to play against or would have your number?
You know what? There's a lot of great goalies. I would look back at guys like Kelly Lindberg, Ron Hextall. I always thought that Billy Smith was probably the biggest or best big game goalie that ever played. And then along came guys like Patrick Waugh and Marty Brodeur. So we've had a lot of great goaltenders, and there's been a lot of them that stopped me a great number of times. But it's fun. The challenge to go against them is always fun.
Okay. And if you could pick any player that's ever played the game to captain a team that you coached, who would it be and why?
Well, it's pretty simple. You know, you pick number 11 because, first of all, he's a great captain and a wonderful player and six-time champion. So that's a pretty easy choice. That wouldn't be – I think you could even make that choice.
As a Ranger fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so earlier today, TSN reported that Jerry Reinsdorf was the owner of both – Reinsdorf, the owner of both the Chicago Bulls and Chicago White Sox.
About the Phoenix Coyotes.
About the Phoenix Coyotes.
$5 million.
Yes, yeah. We wanted to get your take on that.
I think it's great. You know what? Phoenix is a wonderful city, and Jerry Reinsdorf has had great success with the Bulls and the White Sox. He lives in Phoenix half the year. I think he's going to be a great owner for that city, and it's exciting news for the whole entire sport.
Hockey players have always been known as pranksters and jokers in the locker room. Were you one of those jokers?
No.
And if not, were there any players that you remember being jokers?
You know, nobody. I am. The way it works is if you don't bother anybody, they won't bother you. And I had enough going on to get ready for a game that I didn't have enough energy to spend time doing stuff like that. I just got ready for practice and for games.
And the last question
is,
who is your prediction for the Stanley Cup champion this year?
You never go against the defending champion. So if somebody knocks off Pittsburgh, watch out.
All right,
there you go.
I gotta say, as much as I loved having Gretzky on and how great he was, and he did a great job with Nick, I was really disappointed in his prankster answer. I really wanted to hear that. You know, one time he put like hot sauce in Messier's jock or something like that.
Yeah, but
you know,
He didn't have to do that. Maybe his thing was like he was just focused on the game and that was it.
Focus, Schmokus.
Come on, Focus, Schmokus. He's the greatest player of all time.
I was disappointed in the answer. That's all. I wanted to hear a good story. They ran Esatikin up the flagpole by his shorts or something.
Watch Cinemax. You want to watch a good story? It's a joke.
Fine.
Gretzky can do no wrong in my eyes.
Of course not. He was fantastic. And a great job by Nicky with that interview. And
there you have it. Yeah. The team leader, come on, that was a softball. I would have. How come you didn't step in as editor and say, listen, that question, he's going to say Messier. What do you think he was going to say? Gilles Perreault?
Actually, when we put those questions together, because we all collaborated on them, and that was the question that Joe and Nick wanted to ask him. And I said, well, he's going to say Messier, but they wanted to get his response anyway, and, just kind of. It kind of would have been, as Ranger fans, it would have been kind of remiss to not get Messier mentioned in there somewhere. So, it was a softball question. What do you want from this?
I want a little journalistic integrity, a journalistic professionalism here from this Booster fan of crew.
Nicky was hitting them with the Coyotes ownership question. That news had only broken about an hour or two before that event. So that was that was a good question to hit him with.
I think he did a good job. I think you were
a fantastic job. Beautiful.
All right, now Jackie Lomba's calling for the roll call, and since she came back,
That's why she came back.
Well, she came back. She couldn't sleep without just knowing that this show was on, and like millions of other people. Let's face it.
Bunch of glory hounds. They just want to hear
their names. Love hearing their names called. And I'm going to oblige him now. I want to thank, Ryan for calling. Good call. I wish we got
two new callers tonight.
I love it. Keep calling, baby. Now, let's go to the Ranger Blue Shirt Banner Radio Hungry Hippo Holoroka. The Azel Spades. The Azel Spades. Motorhead with their frontman Lemmy. The Ace of Spades is here. And he is tough as a steer. I don't know. And there's Chef Boyo's Tripe. That's right. You've heard of Chef Boyardee meatballs and SpaghettiOs and all that crap? Well, now you can get Chef Boyardee Tripe. That's right. And wasn't it in tripe like some kind of cow innards or something? It's Boyo's Tripe, but it's spelled
sheep
intestines. Like that.
we had this conversation last week.
Yeah. It's tripe. And if you look at it, it's STRYPE, and if you put an R on that, at the end of that, that's Striper, which was a religious metal band from the 80s.
Yeah. Yep, I remember them well.
Right. And now, City Hockey Fever. Hot town, summer in a city. It's so hot, I got a fever. City Hockey Fever. City Hockey Fever is there. Coochie Wally. Coochie Wally is here. We love Coochie Wally. He's an all-important facet of this broadcast, an important cog in the machine that we call Blue Shirt Fanta Radio. Froze 99. No Frosty for you tonight. You were a little uppity in that chat room. Dad challenging the wisdom of the great Oz. You clinking, clanking, clanging this junk or whatever he says. Frosty, thanks for your patronage as well for joining us. No hard feelings. He sent me an apologetic IM begging for forgiveness from the great one, Eddie the Mouse Guy. No, he didn't. We just made sure everything was cool. And then there's Jackie Lomba. She did the dramatic, "I'm leaving. Please miss me." And then she left, and we all said, "We miss her." And then she came back, and she was welcomed with open arms. As Jerry once said, "I welcome you with open arms." Jackie Lamba, welcome back to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. You are once again an integral part of this broadcast, as all the fans while are here. My simple. What are you doing there?
I was just, yeah.
Oh, you're doing the oh, I see. Okay. Mike Zippo. Hope you're not going to do that sound effect of Mike. Mike
Don't
Zippo,
promise.
A champion of Gary Bettman. Gary Bettman, a midget vampire, needs some sun. Mike Zippo loves Gary Bettman but hates Glenn Sather. I don't know. I think between both those guys, they don't have a brain. Between both of them. But Mike Zippo, the organizer of the Fiery Glenn Sather Rally, a Ranger season ticket holder, and one of the all-time great Ranger fans. So you've got to respect his opinion. New York Ranger 1994. I've been trying to forget 1994 ever since 1999. Because I want to move on, upwards and onwards. I don't want to see any more 1994 specials. I don't want to see Brian Leach marched out on that Jack Wall post-game show with a deer in headlights. Mike Keenan. Oh, God, I can't stand his mug on the TV. But, yes, 1994 was a great year. I went to the parade. Oh, my God, I loved it. Rock, 1193. When I see Rock's name, I think of one thing, that Fox TV show called Rock, about those black guys in Baltimore. But that's a little bit redundant. Because there's a whole lot of black guys in Baltimore. And you
Charles
know what?
S. Dutton.
Charles S. Dutton, who was also in some other movie. Now, there's nothing wrong with black people in Baltimore. I'm just telling you, that's where you can find some black people. Stan from Bayside. Stan, I think, is even more skeptical than any of us here, ladies and gentlemen. You laughing is throwing me off. Stan from Bayside, we love you, and come on. Frodo from Moto, he's 5'7". Come on, Stan, join me in hating Matt Zuccarello Olsen even before he gets here. And Eddie Johnstone has just joined us. Better late than never, as they say. Eddie Johnstone, one of the all-time great Rangers, EJ. They used to call him Ziggy. Ron Greshler tells a story about something with Eddie Johnstone. I forget. But Eddie Johnston, a.k.a. Paul. Paul, I wanted to tell you, at Hofstra, there's going to be a card show Sunday where the Islanders are going to be there. Big time. If you go Saturday, you can meet K-Rod and Mickey Rivers. Anyway, that's the Ranger Oh, the Hungry Hippo Holler Roll Call from Blue Shirt Banner Radio, your number one source for Ranger-centric entertainment. God damn you all. I love you.
Mickey Rivers is going to be there on Monday, Saturday.
Mickey Rivers, yes.
I don't want to deviate too much from hockey, but when I lived in Florida, every year the town that I lived in was Hollywood, Florida, and there was the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital there. It was a hospital that he set up for kids with cancer and things like that. My daughter was actually born at that hospital, but every year they would do a baseball. They would do a Legends game, and the night before they would do a charity auction, and they'd bring in all this sports memorabilia and all these old ball players, and Mickey Rivers was one of them. And he had me in stitches. He was telling us the story of why he got traded from the Yankees, and it was just so funny. And ever since then, I always had a special place in my heart for Mick the Quick. Just the greatest story about it. It was girls on the bus that were, barely legal on the Yankee team bus at the time. And Big Stein found out about it, and Mickey Rivers was traded the next day.
Wow. Yeah, Mickey Rivers, you know, Frosty says about the racetrack. My father, who, he used to hang out at Roosevelt Raceway, and he used to see Mickey Rivers there all the time. So that's when I said place your bets, because apparently Mickey Rivers loved to bet the ponies, I mean, whether it was harness or the flats.
And that's absolutely true. And Mickey Rivers also told the story that his wife at the time, I don't know if she's still his wife, but his wife used to go to the Yankees' offices to collect his paycheck so that he couldn't gamble it away.
Oh, really? Yep. Well, that confirms our sources then.
from Mick the Quick himself.
Wow. Wow, so that's, there we go, Mickey Rivers talk. Yeah, there's going to be some baseball players. There are some baseball players going to be there on Saturday, including the aforementioned K-Rod's going to be there. Aren't the Mets playing Saturday? I mean, don't these teams play? I mean, I don't know. I guess he's a reliever. He's already planning he's not going to pitch. I don't know. Anyway, I digress. So let's talk about these prospects here we got here.
Okay,
and,
I just want to do one thing before you start talking about the prospects while we're in our peak time here. Really quick, I just want to mention to everybody that as of this week, Blue Shirt Banner Radio is now a featured show on Blog Talk Radio. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. But we are the only weekly hockey show that is featured on Blog Talk Radio.
How did that come about?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. All of a sudden, I plugged into our page the other day, and we've got a nice little banner on there now that says we're featured. And I went and looked, and if you go to the main page of Blog Talk Radio and you look under featured shows and go to the sports category, you will find us there. We are up there with, like I said, there are other hockey shows, but we are the only one that is a weekly show. Most of the other ones, some of them hadn't done a show in 2 years, but how they're still featured, I don't know. But we're up there, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Well,
and
I'll tell you why I think we're up there.
Go ahead. Because we're good.
I'll tell you. Well, that's great news. First of all, I'm psyched about that. First of all, we have our listenership is grows every week. Our chat rooms, fantastic people.
Right.
And I got to say, they're probably going by a number of listeners. I mean, combined listeners over a year or whatever.
I know that some of the things that Blog Talk Radio, that they look for is regular shows, which we do. You know, we're on once, twice, sometimes three times a week. I think guests, you know, we do have guests. And we have some decent, you know, we have some pretty big name guests, you know, beyond Wayne Gretzky. Our listenership. And just the fact that, you know, like I said, we do a regular show that, you know, we're reliable. I think those are the things that Blog Talk Radio looks for. So I think that's why we got where we are. And I just want to mention that you guys that are on Twitter, in case you don't know, you can follow me on Twitter at at Blue Shirt Banter, and you can follow Eddie at Ranger Crisis. And we're both on Facebook, so make sure you find us there because we often have some pretty interesting conversations with our listeners and readers on Facebook as well. You can email me at jim@blueshirtbanner.com. You can email Eddie at eddie@blueshirtbanner.com. I got some great emails this week from people that had listened to the Gretzky interview. They loved it. I heard from Chris, our buddy over in the UK. Don't forget the websites, blueshirtbanner.com and rangercrisis.com, which is the only place to find archive Ranger video. And
wow.
One other thing, and then I'm done with my little spiel and we get into the prospects. I mentioned this about a month ago, and I it's official now. We are on iTunes. You can find us on iTunes, and we are a free show on iTunes. So if you have an iPod.
Oh, it better be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't
crap.
Well, it's not a matter of that, but I want to make sure that, you know, if somebody wanted to download one of our podcasts, that they wouldn't have to pay for it. Frosty, I'll give you my home phone number. You can call me anytime you want, buddy. If you have an iPod and you go on iTunes, you can do a search for Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and it will bring up every one of our 61, tonight being show number 62 in Blue Shirt Banner Radio history. All of our shows will come up. I confirmed that. Actually, my son did that for me last night, did the research, because he's an iPod guy. And we are also on Microsoft Zoom. If you have a Zoom like I do, you can
Stan's
bring up
right.
All our shows. Stan's right. Who'd pay for this? Stan would pay top dollar. Stan sends us $20 every week just to mention his name on the show.
He's a
so,
silent contributor.
if you have a Microsoft Zoom, again, you can do a search for Blue Shirt Banner Radio. It will bring up all our shows. And what's nice is when you watch us, if you listen to the show on your Zoom, it brings up our logo, and it'll even give you a description of our show. It'll say, you know, tonight we feature Wayne Gretzky, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of cool. So those are all the different ways that you can reach out to us or listen to us. It was pretty cool when I found out we were featured and on iTunes and the whole bit. We're a sensation.
Oh yeah, we made the top of the Block Talk ladder. Jeez,
we're featured.
I'll take it. I'll take it now.
Hey, I saw one of the Block Talk shows. One of the Block Talk shows had Kelly Ripa on the other night. How do we get her on? We get her on the Block.
Bones. She's got nice hair. That's it. She's a bone rack with nice. She's a skeleton with nice hair.
Who wouldn't kick her out of bed?
I want a girl with some meat on her bones. Know what I'm saying?
Never mind. Go ahead. It's a meat on her bones. I'll throw a steak at her. $20 in Confederate money.
Kelly Ripper a hamburger. Eat something. All right. So now Leslie Treff, who I've talked to. Now, Leslie, everybody's got an opinion on Leslie. You know, everybody says, you know, she's very – I like her because she's – there's no comedy. She gives it to you straight. You know, it's a lot better than that crazy Mitch Beck. Holy shit, that guy is – he's crazier than a shithouse rat, that guy. I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to have that guy back on. He's a whack job. So, anyway, getting back to Leslie Treff, who's, you know...
Next week on the show, Mitch Beck.
Oh, no. We love Mitch. But anyway, Leslie Treff is a professional, and I talked about she's going to head to the NHL Combine and take a look at all the kids are going to be going into the draft and going to come back with a report and check in with us and tell us what's going on. And I know, Jim, I haven't taken a look at too much, but where are the Rangers looking? Who are they looking to pick at the actual where they're positioned at? What's the lowdown of who's going to be available that would fit the bill for the Rangers? Do you know?
Well, you know, everything's a big secret inside the Kremlin. You know, the last year, the guys that most people thought the Rangers were looking at in the draft, and they went totally in a different direction when they drafted Chris Kreider, although it certainly seems to have been the right move. So there's, you know, I'm not hearing much besides who the fans are screaming for, and that's everybody seems to be they want Nito Knight Rider.
Nito Rider.
Seems to be the popular choice among Ranger fans. Let's go get him. Whatever.
Frosty,
I'm all for it.
Frosty wants to draft some guy named Blamez Regis. Blame Regis. That's a bad joke. Anyway, I've heard of Nino Niederreiter, and Coochie's talking about this guy Tarasenko. So we'll get to that, and I'm sure she'll have her ideas. So she came out with her ratings. Right now she's still got Grachev at number one. He's a center left wing. These are guys basically all under 20. So, you know, like MDZ is still there. He's rated number two. I mean, I think he's more than a prospect. She had some interesting things to say about Delzato. She said that he's still learning to pick his spots learning the physical part of the game. He's gotta kind of shore that up, and as well as his gap control. You know, he played almost 19 minutes. You know, he averaged a lot of minutes. So I think he's gonna improve. Number three, which you mentioned before, Derek Stepan, who's 19 years old. I guess he's gonna play another year. He's the captain over there in Wisconsin. And he's number three. Kreider is coming in at number four. Friend of the show. She says he's a prototypical power forward. He's got speed and scoring ability. He's just very clutch, very responsible on both ends of the ice. So that's looking at it. Now, here's one at number five. This guy looks like it's all over for him, guys. I mean, maybe you guys in the chat room give me your thoughts on it, but Bobby Sanguinetti, he had a couple chances to make the team during this year and couldn't do it. And he was basically injured a big part of the Hartford season. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's over for Bobby Sanguinetti as a Ranger. What do you think, Jim, on that one? 22 years old?
Really young,
though. I'm putting together an article. It's my ways of fixing the Rangers, the different things they need to cover during the off season, and I'm going to run that sometime on the website, probably early next week. I don't want to give too much of it away, but one of my things is Crapper, get off the Sanguinetti pot.
What? Oh, I'm sorry, his balloon has popped. Is that what it is?
No, I said crap or get off the Sanguinetti pot.
That was one of those things where you called me where I wasn't listening. I was going around the internet and I was like, his balloon is
words,
pop.
I caught him at one of those minutes where he wasn't listening, better known as half the show.
No, I'm sorry, folks. I was scooting around the internet and I just tuned out for a second when you were talking. I'm sorry about that.
Talking Rangers, he's watching porn.
No, I'm not. I saved that for the off hours.
Yeah.
No, I don't want. You know, I don't want to get into that. But I never use the internet for porn. I don't know why. I don't want to get into this conversation.
I thought that was what the internet was for.
I can't relax on the computer. That's the thing. I can't relax.
I thought all this hockey crap was just filler.
I don't know. I don't want to get into it. It's too embarrassing.
I have embarrassed you. Oh, my goodness. I didn't think that was possible. All right,
and
are we talking about hockey here or what?
Yeah, okay. Well, rated sixth is Ika Häkkinen, but it looks like Häkkinen's going to take a hike back to Europe after the season.
Yeah.
It looks like
just call the milk. I'm going to take a hike in it.
Yeah, really. Leslie says that after he was sent down with his time with the Rangers, he wasn't as productive before the call up, and doesn't look confident on the ice. So I don't know, and we just don't know. It seems like he's a little disgruntled with the way things went down there. And don't you think that's an opportunity wasted? I think Häkkinen should have deserved it. I mean, we said it on the show before, but don't you think Häkkinen deserved a better chance than he got? And this time I will listen to your answer.
We don't want to constantly rehash all the things that went wrong, but in my opinion, there was no excuse for Bobby Sanguinetti or Ilkka Häkkinen to not get a decent shot at some playing time, not with the garbage they were sending out there night after night on defense. There was just no excuse for it. There really was. There wasn't. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, what they're thinking about doing to Wade Redden this upcoming year should have been done this year. I mean, after 20 games, you could figure the guy couldn't play a freaking.
I mean, you know, they jerked this kid Häkkinen around. Now he's going to go back to Europe. So what was the point? What was the point of signing him?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's 25, too. So, again, I guess it's like, you know, like you said, it's either you know what or get off the pot with this guy. I don't know. And then they've got seventh Matt Gilroy. It's funny, he's the seventh-ranked prospect, and he played 60 games, 70 games with the team. You know, she gives him credit that he's a two-way blue liner. I don't know about that. Matt would look very soft in the defensive zone to me. He looked out of position, and he can't move anybody. You need guys back there that can move. I don't know. And so we've talked about Gilroy. And then Ryan McDonough, who has fallen, and he went from number three at the last update he did to number eight. She said that he's no longer considered a prospect at the highest level. But she still says he's a natural leader who brings an intensity to every shift and not afraid to take the body and protect teammates when he can. McDonough is expected to join the NHL Hartford Wolfpack next fall. Well, Leslie, you were wrong.
It's just in.
He's going to play with the Wisconsin Badgers, but he put expected, so. Yeah. And then the ninth prospect, which I find really ridiculous, Chad Johnson. Oof. How bad are the other prospects for? Ethan Werrick's 11? What does he like about Ethan Werrick? He's a friend of the show. Anyway, Chad Johnson is 9. Michael Sauer. I think they're Sauer on Sauer. He's another guy who was hurt. He's strictly a stay-at-home defenseman. And why the Rangers don't want that. But he was out with a shoulder injury this year. I got a couple rookie cards of this guy. And he will be a restricted free agent this summer. Sauer's future is uncertain. And he stayed at 10th. And then we got Ethan Werker. We had age 18. He did get that leg injury, Jim. We never. What was the last time we heard? You were texting him last time I checked him.
I don't want to. At this point, I don't want to bother him. But he was expected to be laid up for about 4 to 6 weeks, and then he was, expected to be ready for next season. So who knows? Maybe hopefully we'll see him in camp or rookie camp or something.
And I guess Coochie Wally sent me this. Quite detailed instant message about who was that guy he was talking about? Leshenko? Leshenko or something? The guy the Rangers might look at to take with their pick. I assume he got this from some website, but here's a scouting report on him. A pure shooter who can score at will. At will? Who can score at will? Seriously. The talent is something to behold. He's very fast. This is almost like they're describing us. Our talent is something to behold. He's very fast, elusive, and has that killer instinct around there at 5'10". Wait, at 5'10 and under 180. What? No more Smurfs. Say no to Smurfs. Say what? He's another one of those prototypical small guys who can really scoot and shoot. He is, some team will take him, but where it might have landed him in the top 5 or 7 as the number 2 Euro will nightly happen outside, I don't know, it gets cut off there. That's Tarasenko. That's a guy the Rangers are looking at. I don't know, how many small guys are we going to have? You're going to have the Frodo from Moto, we're going to have Tarasenko, I mean, come on. I don't want no more small guys. I don't want European guys. I'm getting on a bandwagon. Let's get a little bit North America here, baby. Let's see some grinders. We never had success. I mean, Gaborik, and I want to, now that I'm on Gaborik, I don't know if you see what he tweeted this week. Did you see?
Was it get me out of here quick?
No.
Feet don't fail me now.
Feet don't fail me now. No, Gaborik tweeted that he wanted to thank the Ranger fans, and he said that you guys are the best. That's what he said.
Aww.
At 3 in the morning, so he must have been drunk.
Right. He's drunk tweeting. We got a phone call on the line. You want to take a phone call?
Bring it on, baby.
All right. This is going to be another first-time caller, I think, from my neck of the woods, 520 area code. Who's this?
This is Pete.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. Are you in Tucson?
I am. I grew up on Long Island, though.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
All right.
Yeah, I've been down in Tucson for about 10 years now.
See, Eddie, I keep telling you, this Arizona contingent, man, we're strong. We're strong.
I'm telling you, you're representing out there, and I've been to Tucson. I was actually at the Tucson movie studios out there. That was a cool thing. Yeah. So,
well,
what's on your...
What's on my mind is I think the Rangers have a really nice young core of players. And, the fans, obviously, you have one side of your fans that wants to play the kids, and then your other side of the fans that, they don't go to the games unless there's a star in the lineup to root for them. So you've got some people going, you know, hey, let's bring Yager back. And then you got another faction saying, let's play these kids. So my take on the Rangers is just a couple simple moves to make this team a playoff team is put some of these young guys in a position to succeed. You know, I mean, Prosper had a nice year for us, but we don't need him. We got Karatchev, who's got a full season of pro hockey under his belt. Sure, it's not the NHL, but the guy's huge. He could play center or left wing. Put him in there, take a long look at Derek Stepan in training camp, see where this guy's game's at, if he's ready to step up, make the transition.
He's going back to college for another year.
Yeah, I figured he would be. But as far as the draft goes, Derek Forbort's a guy I've been talking about. I talk on the forums all the time. Nobody likes me. But
well, join the club. Nobody likes it. We all talk on the forums. Nobody likes us. So welcome to the show.
Do you go on the HF boards? Do you go on the HF boards?
No, the what's it called? I go on it every day. The SB Nation.
Oh.
Strong Blue Shirt Banner.
Yeah. So I'm on there. I'm on there all the time.
What's your screen name?
Peterman.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't realize you got it. Okay. So I know who you are. Sure. You've been around since almost the beginning of the site.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I love the debate. I think the problem is people take me as like I'm being what's the word? I don't know. But you know, I'm not trying to be combative with people. I'm just trying to, because a lot of people don't really look at the facts before they post. They just post with emotion, you know?
Right, yeah.
So I try to get a little insight. I try to Google some players or whatever it is. I try to get some knowledge before I make a post, you know?
Well, DB Maven has given you the seal of approval. He said in our chat room, Peterman is cool. So therefore, you have gotten the seal of approval from DB Maven. Now, who is this player you're talking about now? I'm not familiar with him.
Derek Forbort is a huge American defenseman. He's only 18 years old. He's already 6'4". He could be 6'5". He is playing for the development program, so we're not going to be able to see him in New York for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But guy can already move the puck. He's big. He's strong. He can move the puck as a defensive defenseman. And he's got a great shot, too, and he's only 18. So you figure by the time he's 20 and he's able to come to Broadway, you know, this guy's going to be 6'5", he's going to be 6'15 at least. And he's the kind of player that the Rangers usually pass on. We usually go for these European wingers that, you know, these European players that we never end up seeing.
Right.
And I would really want to stay away from these small wings. I mean, we just got Zuccarello Austin, who I really like. I think he was a great addition. But, you know, we've got him, we've got Grachev, we've got some other guys that we need to re-sign. Honestly, I think we should lease and walk, but I think Forbort is the perfect draft pick for the Rangers' 10th. The Rangers need to get bigger and more physical on the blue line. They have too many guys that make gaffes. They're not physical. They don't want to hit anybody. You know, Girardi, I like Girardi, but he's not a physical defenseman. Redden's bum, as we all know.
Right.
And, you know, the Rangers just don't have enough physicality on the blue line, and that is their biggest problem because they're always leaving Henrik, you know. Basically, Henrik has to be a defenseman and a goaltender sometimes. We've all seen that.
You're right. No, that's a good point.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy's going to end up getting hurt. This guy's going to end up getting hurt if, you know, Sada doesn't go out and get somebody that's going to be, you know, a Bukaboom type. Someone's going to clear the crease. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'll speak for Jim. We all need, the Rangers definitely need to get physical in front of that net. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I guess. I was going to speak to your first point about what Ranger fans kind of expect. You know, they want those big, like, you always hear, what do we have to do to get Kovalchuk here? And to me, I don't want him here.
I don't want him here either.
I know that might be like, why wouldn't you want Kovalchuk and Gaborik on the same team? Because even if you throw another 30-goal, 40-goal score in there, it's not going to improve. You need to build a team. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, but it's hard to convince a lot of Ranger fans and promise them that the Rangers have a lot of youth to bring in here when year after year before the cap, you saw them disaster after disaster. and the Christian Dubes, and I'm not going to say his name because he gets mentioned every show, but Hugh Jessamine. And, you know,
I know you're
talking. I'm not
going to
say his name, but I'm going to say his name.
Right. But I agree with you because
Nigel Paul, Peter Peruka, I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right. And I've had enough of Ranger fans living in the past with Yager. We saw what happened to Yager. And I know he's Jackie Lomba's husband, hockey husband. I'm sorry, Jackie, but he got hit by Alex Ovechkin, and he was out. He was done. He took one hit, and it was over. And
the guy's my age. I mean, he's got no business signing an NHL contract right now.
I have no problem with the Rangers going full youth, and that includes giving guys who've played, bringing up as many guys from the minors, and just going at it. Seriously, they can't be any worse than they were this year. Seriously.
No.
I think
Rangers, if the Rangers can just address their blue line, get a couple guys, two guys in there that can play a physical style of hockey, okay, guys that are good defensively, that can lay a hit, that can clear the crease. If we can get two of those guys on the blue line, and one of them doesn't even have to play every day. He could be a depth guy. But we need one guy that plays in the top four pairing that can clear the crease consistently, play 20, 25 minutes a game. I don't even care if he racks up penalty minutes. We need somebody in there that's going to be a force, someone to deal with. You know what I mean? But up front, I think the Rangers are there. I think they need to put some of these young guys in there and let them play. Because even if they finish ninth again, it's another year of development for these young players. And the Rangers will become a team that nobody wants to play against. Because
right.
They have a system that's moving forward, that young guys that keep stepping up the pipeline. You've got your left wing covered, your center covered, your right wing covered. You've got all these guys in the pipeline coming up challenging for positions. You know, I don't want them to bring Prosper back. The only guy out there that I have interest in, and someone mentioned it on Blue Shirt Banter the other day, but I don't remember who it was, Joe Pavelski. I like Joe Pavelski. I think he's a good player. He'd be a guy that I wouldn't mind going after because I think he could play top-line center minutes. He can play power play. He's a playmaker, and the Rangers don't have that. Because Dubinsky can't do it. We've seen that.
Right.
But playmaking and a physical defenseman are the two Ranger needs. And other than that, let the kids play.
I agree with you. The center iceman definitely has to be. That has to be addressed. I mean, that – because I think a lot of the Rangers actually getting into the opponent's zone or the trouble they have is because they don't have a center iceman who can take that puck and at the blue line, his own blue line, and start to create or do something. They rely too much on that long stretch pass by MDZ, and a lot of teams caught on to it. And I agree with you. I don't know about, physical defensemen who clear the crease, they're a commodity in this league. And I'm not familiar. Hopefully, now, what was the name of this guy? You're looking at him, I think I'm going to write his name down.
His name is Derek Forbort.
Forbort.
Now, he's not like a shutdown guy. He is a two-way defenseman because he can play offense too. But at 18, he's already 6'4". So he's going to command a double team, in my opinion. He's going to command a lot of attention. And when you have a guy like that, he's the perfect kind of guy you put on a line with Sanguinetti or you put on a line with Delzato, an offensive type player. Because Forbort can play both ends of the ice. He's only 18 years old. My opinion, I think he's probably the best player in the draft. I think he's better than Sagan, and I think he's better than Hall because he's going to bring stability to a hockey team more than Sagan and Hall will. I mean, we've seen it with Tavares. I mean, the jury's still out on Tavares. Guy can't really skate, both ends of the ice for 60 minutes.
He's not a very good skater, but he needs a setup guy. That's what he needs.
Yeah, and I think the Islanders are also on the right track, and that's another conversation. But I think that for a team that, like the Rangers, okay, a team like Montreal, a team that's on the cusp, I think a Derek Forbort could change their fortune. The only problem is you're not going to get to see him for a couple of years. That's the only drawback with him.
My only thing that I would think that the Rangers wouldn't go after a guy like that is they kind, the feeling is that they kind of got a logjam at defense. Although most of it hasn't panned out, as we've seen. So,
see a logjam. I mean, Sauer's going to be gone. Heikkinen's taking a hike, as you said earlier. Okay? I mean, Saguinetti's an offensive defenseman. He's got very little to offer on the defensive side of the puck. Pelzotto's already graduated. I mean, I really don't see, you know, a lot of defense that is going to make an impact for the Rangers long term. I think they need a guy who's got this big hulking presence, you know? I mean, who do we have that's got that size? That's got age, too. That's got an age advantage. I mean, there's really nobody.
No.
You know, I mean, Sather took a flyer on Anders Ericsson just to see what he could do, and, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't really see him being retained either, but...
Now, there's Forsberg. He's a hitter? Is he gritty, or is he just big?
Oh, he's
6'4", 195. I see someone posted his stats in the chat room here.
He's very gritty. His biggest attribute, though, is not only is he big, but he plays well in the corners. He pushes guys off the puck. I've seen tape of the guy play, okay? I've seen him play quite a bit. I've seen, because, you know, NHL Network is great because they play a lot of college hockey on it. So I've had the opportunity to see 4 or 5 of the guy's games. And, you know, he plays well in the corners. He has a good shot, you know, but... I mean, I've never seen a guy this young, an American defenseman, play the way he plays. You know, I mean, he is rising on the charts. I mean, every time I you know, every once a week or so, I do a mock draft, and he's always climbing. The Rangers are actually, on this mock draft I'm looking at, they've got the Rangers picking him on, what's the website? MyNHLDraft.com. They've got the Rangers taking him at 10. So, you know, I've been talking about this guy. I mean, Brett Connolly is a guy I like. He's a winger. He's a Canadian winger. I like him, but I don't think he's going to fall to 10.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because he might, but I think all these Euro guys are going to fall. I think none of the European players are going to be in the top 10. I think they're going to be in the you know, 12 to 20 range. I think some of these Europeans are going to go. But, you know, the North American player has become such a commodity these days. You guys know that.
Well, yeah, especially on the D. I mean, that's where they go for. And, you know, and yeah, and all around now. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking up way too much of you guys' time.
Oh, yeah, haven't you?
Not at all.
You give me
not
an education from the sands of the desert of Tucson, Arizona, arises a phoenix of information.
Well, you know, I could talk hockey every day because the Mets suck, so there's nothing really to talk about with the Mets.
Oh, another member of the Met fraternity.
Yeah. And there's no basketball to talk about. I mean, who do we talk about basketball, you know? So,
well,
I mean,
we're going to be here every Wednesday or Thursday. So, listen, Tuesday, who knows what day of the week we're going to settle on yet. But, see, this is like, you know, you listen to the radio shows, the host always makes believe like he knows something, he knows everything. I don't know everything. So when I get information, I love it. I love to learn. I'm like a sponge, so to speak. I just soak up the knowledge and the whole bit.
I have been watching the Rangers. I'm 38. I've been watching the Rangers since I was a kid. And the one constant with the Rangers is they never have a guy that, you know, I mean, Avery's fun to watch. I've talked about it. I don't think he's going to be back next year. I don't think Avery is the kind of guy that they want to build around. Now, I know he's going to be hard to get rid of, but The Rangers need to have a defense that makes you pay a price. That's the bottom line. The minute the Rangers are able to do that, Henrik Lundqvist is going to win Vezinas. Not just the Vezina, he's going to win trophies. Because the Rangers' biggest problem, it doesn't even matter about offense. They've got enough guys in the pipeline now that with time and development and progress, and I believe that Tortorella is a good coach, their offense will come. They need to be a team that teams don't want to play, because every time they bring the puck in the offensive zone, they've got shooting lanes up the yin yang. We've seen it, you know. No one's there to shut them down, and you know Redden's too soft. Delzato's an offensive-minded player. Girardi, he's a good player, but he's not the kind of guy. You know, I mean, Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. They need guys that are make you pay a price. You guys have a great night.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Pete. Pete, you gotta start calling in every week, especially during the off season here, because you really sound like you know what you're talking about when it comes to these prospects. Oh, he's gone.
He's gone. Well, he jilted us.
He's like Colonel Flagg. You know, he's like the wind. He blew out the window.
appears in the garbage can and you turn around and he's gone.
That's right. All right, we got one more call on the line here. 10 minutes to go. Blue Shirt Banner Radio, 646-478-4692 if you want to squeeze in here before we're done. So let's take this one phone call. We got 516-902. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
This is Rob.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Hey, Rob. How are you?
How's it going, guys? Just real quick, I just want to throw out there that the Rangers have a prospect by the name of Sam Klassen. Do you hear of him?
Yeah, we were actually just talking about him in the chat room, actually. He's just nasty.
Yeah, and he likes to hit. And we haven't had somebody who can hit since Jeff Bookaboom. And I'm a season ticket holder. And this is my first time calling you guys, and I love listening to you guys. And I'm really depressed that they didn't make the playoffs. But I just hope this guy, Klassen, makes at least, he gets on to Hartford. Because from what I read, I haven't, seen him play, but they say he just likes to nail people. And we need somebody like that because we haven't had somebody like that since book.
All right. Now, I've heard the name. I've read a little bit about him. What's the skinny on Sam Klassen?
Well, he's 6'1", 200 pounds. He's not tall like that guy, Forbon, the other guy was just talking about, But he plays for the Saskatchewan Blades right now, but this looks like it's his last season, and supposedly the Rangers might offer him a contract to play for Hartford.
Oh, that'll be good. I mean,
Rob, have you seen the YouTube videos on Classic?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
I mean, I haven't seen it. I mean, he can hit. He just looks like he plays with a real nasty streak. When they signed him last offseason, and we were all kind of like, who the hell is this guy? And then we started doing a little research on him, looking at the videos, and we're like, holy crap. Bring this guy in now.
See, I just wanted to speak. With all these defensive guys, these defensemen, I can't see the Rangers going defense with their pick. I mean, you got Kondratek, McDonough, Klassen, who knows if they're done with Sanguinetti or Sauer or all these guys. But this Klassen has a video. He's a hitter. I like that. I want to see some hitting for crying out loud. I mean, I think MDZ is a good hitter, but he gets out of position a little bit, and he's more offensive-minded. We need a defensive-minded hitter. And like Pete had mentioned, once they start clearing the crease and having people afraid of going in front of that net, I mean, Henrik, his job is going to be so much easier. I mean, you're a season ticket holder. How many games did you see this season where it was him against the whole other team? It was a joke.
And I wasn't a big fan of Matt Gilroy this year. I didn't think he played well at both ends of the ice. I don't think he contributed enough offensively, and like you said, he can't get anybody. He can't clear anybody back there.
Nah, he looked lost. He looked like
I'm just starting to wonder. He was a forward who had to convert to a defenseman to make the roster at BU. And I'm just I hate to use one of your terms, throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I'm just wondering if maybe he just doesn't have the defensive skill to play in the NHL, and maybe they should try him back at forward and see what happens. Because he's got the speed, he's got the stick handling abilities. Maybe he's an option at forward. I'm just wondering if maybe the defensive game in the NHL is a little out of his league. Who knows?
He just doesn't look like he has the positioning. He doesn't get body position on the opposing players. He always seems to be to the side of the net, and I don't know. I mean, it's a whole different thing. And, and Michael Delzato, is another guy. I mean, he lapses a lot in that defensive zone, but I can handle it with him because I think the kid can pick it up. Michael Delzato Gilroy didn't look like he picked anything up. I mean, during the season, he didn't look like he improved in any facet of his game, offensive or defensive, like you said. So, and there has been a lot of. Go ahead.
He was supposed to be like the offensive guy coming into the team. He was going to work the power play, and he just wasn't good on it offensively. He's your typical Ranger defenseman of the past 10 years. They can get the puck out of the zone. They can get it up ice, but they're soft. They're very soft.
Right.
Except for Stahl.
Now Stahl. Stahl showed us at the end of the season. He had a good season. He had a little rough start, But, you know, who did, I mean, and the Rangers got off to a good start, but a lot of the defensemen struggled early. And for some wacky reason, the Rangers were scoring a lot early, which bailed them out. But Staal showed us in the playoff, quote unquote playoff push, you know, how good this guy can play. And I mean, he's going to be an all-star. He's a shutdown D-man of extraordinary magnitude, as I'd say. But I agree with your assessment with Gilroy 100%. I mean, and they do need guys. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science here, folks. We've been telling you. You know, you got to get guys. You got to make people fear that crease. I mean, come on, you saw that one game. The defenseman, who was the defenseman who got pushed into Henrik? And Henrik was so pissed at his own D-man, he started pushing him out of the crease. He's like, get off me. I forgot what game that was. Somebody fell back on him, a Ranger
all
D-man. Yeah, all of them. How many times did you get run this year? Seriously, folks. I mean, it's got to be like, I mean, more than two hands worth. I mean, a dozen times, 14 times. You got to protect that front of the net. And the shooting lanes, too, again. I mean, how many quality saves did this guy make again? What, he played 73 games? It's nuts. You can't have a guy playing 73 games. By the time the Rangers get good, if they ever get good, the guy will be burnt out.
They got to get some defensemen in front of them, some real defensemen. No more Kalinins, Rakunics, Polis, Ozolinches.
I know who I'm not a fan of, but a lot of Ranger fans, Fedotutin. I thought Fedotutin was terrible. But a lot of people say, oh, we should have kept him. I didn't see what
I like Fedotutin.
What did he do?
He was a great hip checker.
Don't forget, he was in the ice when they couldn't clear the puck with the Sabres, and Jury scored that goal. They couldn't get that puck out, and then they called
out.
Yes,
it is, my man.
Girardi.
Got to bring that up. All right, Rob. Listen, we're going to take one more phone call before we wrap
this up tonight.
Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk
to you
next week. Lots of first-time callers tonight. I love it.
Well, we're on the big block list, the Block Talk Radio list now. We're featured.
We're featured in the iTunes and the Twitter, and we're huge. All right. Let's see, who's going to have the final word tonight? This is Dave from Blue Seat Blogs. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on,
Doug? First of all, I just watched Miller make one of the most ridiculous saves I've ever seen in my life. I hope you guys have this on while you're doing this.
No, I don't.
Well, it'll be on. Better be on top 10 later. Anyway, in terms of Gilroy and Delzato and all these comparisons, you know, yes, you take your lumps with Delzato because he's 18 or 19, but, I mean, he had a 3.26 goals against per 60 minutes while that's absurd. That was highest on the team by almost a full goal. And everybody rips on Girardi. Even I took part in ripping on Girardi, but the numbers, they don't lie when it comes to Girardi. I mean, he allowed 2.6 goals against per 60 minutes, but he played against the opposition's best players. So all this hype about Delzato that people are going with, slow down a little bit. Yes, he has some offensive skill, but let him learn how to play defense.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm a big MDZ. You raise good points. You know, like DB saying, he was a Mr. Minus 7,000 last year. You know, but conversely, how many goals was he on for compared to Daniel Girardi? You know? I mean, again, at 19, I don't expect the guy to be a defensive wizard. I do expect him to be what got him here, which this is what got him here. He's an offensive guy who, reason he wasn't taken so high in the draft is because he's a little bit defensively lax. So I think at 19, you know, well, a little bit, okay.
Well, you know, my only question is, every time we talk about a defenseman, somebody's got, and I see DB Mavens on hold. You know, every time we say this defenseman's no good, somebody brings up stats. Oh, he's not that bad. Well, every defenseman they pull up stats, he's not that bad. Well, then why were we so shitty on defense this year? Girardi and Staal, and we're great together. And Redden was a plus whatever he wound up being. And look at Gilroy's numbers. They were better than Delzato. Well, why were we so bad on defense if all these numbers are being pulled out of people's asses here. Like, I don't even know what the hell D.B. Maven's got. Hold on. I got to bring D.B. Maven on.
Yeah.
We got a little less than a minute to go. For those of you that were about to lose the live stream, thank you for listening, and we will catch you guys next week. D.B. Maven, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Here, Maven.
Good. Dave's with us as well.
What am I, chopped liver?
Well, he knows you're here. You're implied.
Oh, okay.
Good evening to the mouth. Thank you.
So what do you want to know? I already typed it in. The pairings were freaking retarded.
Are
yes,
you pairings
they were.
But
all the pairings were retarded, but everybody keeps pulling up numbers. Look how great these two were. Look at his numbers. We were terrible on defense. Where are these numbers coming from?
You know the root of the issue. The root of the issue is Redden, okay? And I know everybody looks at the statistics and they go, oh, Redden wasn't so bad. Redden wasn't so bad. Redden was so bad. And also remember,
he was the worst defenseman I've seen.
If you look at the progression over the season, okay, Roosevelt started out beyond horrible. He was literally in the black hole of defensive suckitude. Okay,
suffered suckitude.
He managed to crawl back into the present dimension by around December. And by the end of the season, he was playing the way you'd expect a 3 to 4 or 5 year professional NHL defenseman to play. But at the beginning of the year, oh my God, was he terrible. So you've got your two quote unquote veterans that were just ridiculous. And then the pairings just never made sense. I realized that what Tortorella was trying to do. And this probably goes to Schoenfeld and Sullivan as well, because they're all in on it, is that they were trying.
They're all in on it.
Well, yeah, they all are in on it. But the bottom line is they were trying to get a decent set of pairings to cover the problems that they had. You had a problem with Del Zotto because his positioning was horrendous. It improved somewhat, but it didn't improve enough. Now, yes, he's 19. He's going to learn, blah, blah, blah. Fine. I'll live with that, okay?
Let me ask you a quick question before you go on.
Go ahead.
Are you of the school of thought that he should have spent another year in the OHL?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hands down, no question about it.
Okay. I'm just curious. At this point, it's a moot point anyway.
It absolutely is.
But I can see it from both sides.
You know, I never even thought about that question.
Oh, there was no doubt. Now, at the coming out of camp, he looked phenomenal. But as literally after the first 2 weeks of the season, his learning curve issues were clearly exposed.
Right?
I mean, that's the bottom line. So you've got them breaking up the best pair that we had in Stahl Girardi to try to cover up the issues with a Redden, with a Gilroy, with a Del Zotto. And there's only two of them, and you've got the other four that you got to cover for. That's why we sucked. Now,
so at that point, why don't you put the best defenseman in Stahl with the worst defensive defenseman in Del Zotto? We were talking about this in the chat room before.
I'm sorry. Here, I have to preface this. Sarcasm. Really? You'd do that?
Yes, I would.
Listen, I got to come to MDZ's defense here.
At 19 years old,
he knows more about defense than Wade Redden knows at this point. So he's not the worst defenseman on the team. Sorry, not buying into it. Out of position a hell of a lot, MDZ. But Wade Redden, I mean, he was absolutely, I'm going to put it in your terms, David, beyond horrible.
The dimension of suckitude.
I mean, there's just no other way to put it. He simply cannot be on this team next year. He can't be.
don't
if they
ever
have any
hey,
chance.
If you guys
never
give me enough money,
ever.
I'll shoot them in the kneecaps.
Like, give you enough money, I can find a guy. I can find. We can find. We can throw a rock and hit 10 Ranger fans. It'll do it for $10.
Stan from Bayside will do it.
There are
right, so we'll
probably
give,
people
you
that
are right,
would
though.
Do it.
And to bail them out of jail.
Well, but there's people that would do it for an autographed jersey. Even if it was Carol Vadney's autographed jersey.
Hey, Carol. Hey,
Carol. Jody, Shelley.
Jody, Carol. But, you know, well, you're right. You know, you would think that would make a little bit sense. Put your, you know, your total offense guy, so to speak, and your defensive defense. When we saw that, you know, I'm not comparing MDZ to Leach, but when they had Leach and Bukaboom together, kind of made sense. You have your stay-at-home defenseman. You have your puck mover. You know, but
right. But think about the beginning of the season. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get Staal to become more offensive.
Right.
Okay. It wasn't until he basically backed off and said, somebody said to Staal, "Hold it, time out. You know what? Go back to what you're comfortable doing." And Staal, all of a sudden, we saw him hitting and making plays, and he turned back into what he was last year. Then, as time progressed in the last maybe month of the season or so, all of a sudden you saw Staal take the offensive and make rushes and, you know, breakouts and score some goals. He wasn't ready for what they were trying to do, so that's one of the reasons that he didn't want to put Staal with Gilroy or Delzada. The bottom line is the defense – overall, other than Girardi and Staal as a pair, has you've got two rookies and two sucky, at least at the time of the beginning of the season, two sucky vets. Redden's never going to change. Redden, we all have our, I think, are in agreement that he needs to be banished, you know, down an abyss somewhere. Fine, good. You still have an issue. You need a crease-clearing defenseman. You need a stay-at-home guy. Absolutely. You heard me for how many months I've been talking about Garnet Exelby. He's a cheap, easy, crease-clearing. You're not going to get any deep offense out of him. But if you want somebody that's going to hit, that will drop
what
the glove.
What, you're bringing Garnet Exelby every week.
And for that defensively
cheap.
Sound defenseman, take a shot at Corey Potter.
I agree. I agree
on Corey
Potter.
I forgot about him.
He'll be back with the team next year.
Colonel Potter.
Dump Redden, and they bring in Exelby and Potter, and whoever plays the worst is the seventh defenseman, I will be happy.
I see. I think you bring in the seventh defenseman and rotate just on a routine basis. Every night somebody sits out. It doesn't matter who it is. Especially the rookies, you rotate amongst Gilroy and Delzato and the seventh guy, and you just rotate them and let them
now
learn.
You're talking
and let
crazy.
Them,
Yeah.
It's
you know, you rotate them and you play your matchups, you know, depending on who you're playing, you know, and you play the chess game with the defenseman. But there, you know, we've been yelling about this all season. There was no excuse for not having a seventh defenseman all year long.
There was.
Not with two rookies in the lineup.
That's right.
They've got to sit and watch the game from up top and they can't be thrust into playing 60 games straight. They were both dead by the Olympic break. They even admitted it.
Absolutely. And especially Gilroy, because
especially
he came out
Gilroy.
Of college. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was playing 40 games a year.
Right.
Now all of a sudden
exactly.
You make him play, you know, you make him play 65, 70, or I guess he probably wound up at about 65 when they benched him. But it's just, you know, nobody can do that.
But the bottom line, what we've described are all of the fairly common sense things that you should have done with these guys last year, and they didn't. So are we geniuses, or are they retarded, or both? I don't know.
Well, the first problem is you said common sense.
Right. Well, that's
true. Which has no part in this organization.
Well, aside from the common sense thing, I mean, I kind of alluded to this in a different, show, but there had to have been ownership and general manager pressure to not carry a seventh defenseman because of Redden, because everybody knew that Redden would have been benched. There had to be ownership.
I don't understand why I mean, do you have to justify the salary so much that you that it's actually a detriment to the team? Isn't there a time when it comes down to listen? I mean, if four of us schmoes can sit down and watch a Ranger game and realize this guy is probably one of the worst Rangers to ever suit up, how come John Tortorella never had the balls to say, Wade, you're riding the pine. You stink.
He did.
He did.
Two games.
He came back.
Yeah. And then he came back and he stunk worse. So the wake-up call didn't work. And you've got, you know, James Dean over there, you know, rebel without a cause there, Tortorella trying to reinvent the game with no carrying seventh defenseman, and, you know, he's trying to be so stubborn. You know, I don't want to get into the whole Tortorella thing, but you're right. They played it ass backwards.
But what Dave is pointing out, and I agree with him, is that you're blaming Tortorella and claiming he was the rebel without a clue. And in reality, what Dave and I think I'm in agreement on is it was management, it was Sather, it was whatever upper above that basically put the pressure on him that he couldn't bench Redden again. And we'll never know.
It might be something that could never happen. It never happened again.
That's my point. That's exactly right. The proof is in the fact that he never got benched again. You know, the net bottom line is we're going to find out if there's a clue amongst the management. I don't know when is the first regular season game for next fall. That's when we're going to find out 2 days beforehand when they have to be waived and whether he gets waived or not.
Yeah, well, having a great camp.
DB, let me ask you a question because I honestly don't know the answer to this.
Question
now,
free.
Okay, the way I understand it is that they can't send him to Hartford until after training camp. Is that correct? If they were going to send Redden to Hartford, they can't do it until right before the regular season. Is that how it works?
I'm not sure that they can't. I believe that and you
well,
saw
in order,
it.
Let me rephrase that. In order for his money to come off the cap.
No, his money, the cap doesn't start until whatever it is, like
October
3 1st. Or 5 days. Is it October 1st?
Yeah, that's
3 or
generally
5 days
one of
or whatever before the regular season starts. You know, the camps end, there's like another day or two in between, and then the cap hit begins. You can send guys and waive them to your AHL affiliate at any point before that. We saw guys, you know, like Parento and some of these other guys out of training camp that got waived in the last week. They got sent down, and that's it. The cap start and the waive are two different issues. They're really not related.
So can they be over the cap until the regular season begins?
They can be over the cap until the cap requirement starts, which I believe is 3 to 5 days before the season starts, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I was wrong on the October 1st. I think October 1st is waivers, and the cap is 3 to 5 days before the regular season.
I'm playing this from memory. I'd have to go look, Jim, to be honest with you, but it's something
like
that.
Well, look it up. I don't have time for misinformation. My time is precious to you, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
And I got a paste up that says mine is worth more than yours.
You know what, Mouth?
I happened to see that in a cartoon online today. It was just it popped right into my head when you said that.
He wants a reference.
Actually, you know what it was? It was in oh crap! What's the damn tech? Oh God. My brain
Agent Boy Weekly?
No, moron.
Ow!
Oh, that was good. I like that. I'll look it up. I'll send you the link, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I'll be on top of that one. All right, I'm at it. Good night, everybody.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, DB. Take care, Dave.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
Take care.